Man, it sounds like I asked you, you going to get your teeth pulled? No Novocaine or nothing, huh? It's good to see. Good to see Pastor Gary and Peggy back here, I tell you. Y'all mean such... Well, I'm mad. I'm still mad at you, Gary. He's the one that did mine and Becky's wedding 41 years ago. And I still hold a grudge against that. I really am. Good man, I appreciate him and his ministry. He had down at Eccles Baptist for many and many years, and still down there and helping down there to church. What a blessing it is to be back in church with you folks again. And Philip back here, I hear Philip all during the services back here, just praising God. He don't care. He just gonna praise God regardless of what's going on. It's good to be here. It's good. Just good to be saved. Glad I know my name's written down in heaven. It's been a good week. It's been a good week. I've enjoyed myself. And if you haven't realized yet, I don't enjoy preaching, do I? I just have a good time. And we have a good time in church. Amen. I don't think church is supposed to be where we're all drawled up and puckered up and dare somebody to smile. I think we need to smile and have a good time in the Lord. I want to let the world know I'm having just as much fun in here as they are out there. Amen. Amen. If you want your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter number 5. If you noticed all week long, I have not preached nothing new. No. The same thing you hear every day. Right. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, same thing you ever hear. But the thing is, we're asking again. This is the sixth night. And we asked the first night and asked every night that if you expect me to be led of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to ask you to listen in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask you when I read the scriptures that you also read in the power of the Holy Spirit your Word of God. Not just glance over it, not just run down the words to say I read my Bible today, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, that is the key. The only way we can have the power of the Holy Spirit on us, if we ask God to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us, amen. We're like, I didn't rob no bank today. Man, I didn't cuss nobody out today. Can I tell you, your very existence is sin? I just had to ask God, Lord, because I'm so ungodly and unworldly and so worldly, Lord, just forgive me for my being here. I'm just sin. Cleanse me and prepare me for the scriptures. Help me be able to preach. That's my prayer is. So if I'm going to be mindful of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to ask you to be mindful of the Holy Spirit, and I believe we'll be pleasing unto the Lord. Luke chapter number 5. I'm going to read just two verses of scripture right here. And the Bible says, let's turn over to Luke chapter 5. When you get to Luke chapter 5, say amen. Man, y'all getting good. Verse number 12. And it came to pass, he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He put forth his hand and touched him and said, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. We'll just stop right there. Our Heavenly Father, we sure do love you. We sure do thank you for allowing us to be here all week long. And boy, just have fun in the Word of God. We ask, Lord, that you let the Word just penetrate our souls, our hearts. Let us not walk out of this church unchanged. We all want to be changed. We need to be changed. Lord, help us. Help me. I give myself to you. You just use me up here tonight. Be just fine. We love you. We thank you. We ask us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Just a simple title tonight, if you like writing titles down. The Confidence of Faith. The Confidence of Faith. And a lot of times we'll come to the church carrying something that has absolutely wore us out. We'll carry it around. It'll trouble us. We won't eat. We won't sleep because we got something on our heart or our mind, something going on in our life. And it just seems like it's just beating us down to nothing. And we'll get to wrestle that so much, we'll actually bring it to the altar of God. and say, here, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And you'll lay it down here at the altar and all up. And when you get up, you pick it back up and you take it back here in your seat and you take it back home and you keep worrying about it. That's a sign of no confidence of faith. It's funny, I used to work for DNR and I worked with a man named Mark, and he had two twin daughters. And he come in on the Monday morning and he looked like he'd been beat to death. I said, what's going on with you, Mark? He said, man, he said, we had a sleepover last night. He said, we had the twins, you know, the twins was home and they brought three other nieces in and said, it's been a hard night. And he said, you know, they're pretty rowdy in the house, and all of a sudden everything got so quiet in the house. And most of y'all know with children, if things get quiet in the house with kids, you better go looking. Something's going to happen. He said he looked around inside the house. He never found the girls. And he looked out the window, the kitchen window, and all of them, five girls, was in a real tight huddle in the backyard. So they walked out on the porch out there, and Cheryl, his wife, says, well, looky there, they all got kittens in their hand. Where did they get them kittens at? Every one of them had it. And Mark looked at it, he says, those are kittens, those are skunks. Baby skunks. And he hollered, run! Said they run five different directions, but the problem was each one of them carried their skunk with them. You know, if you're carrying something here, don't be like these girls. Don't carry your skunk home with you.
Yeah, that's good.
Just drop it right here at the altar and let the one that can take care of it handle it. Amen? You don't realize you can't take care of it. That's the reason why you're worrying about it. Amen? Just leave it in the Master's hands and let Him take care of it. Confidence of faith. It seems like we're scared of faith. Scared to use it, because you know why? If we're not having some part in it, it worries us.
Yes, amen.
If we ain't dabbling in it, if we ain't in control of it, we don't really want to use faith. I know a man, just his mother was really, really bad sick, and the doctor says it don't look good. So he went in next to his mother, and he looked at her, and he says, Mom, I got some bad news. He says, it don't look good. And he says, you're just going to have faith in God. Her reply was, oh no. It came down to this. Why is it that that's our attitude toward faith?
Think about that.
Why is it that's how we react toward faith, which is one of the greatest gifts that God gave us outside of salvation, is faith. I believe prayer is right up there next to that. Why don't we exercise this faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? We need to get confidence of faith.
Yeah.
Here in the scriptures, there's a man with leprosy. He's in a bad spot, you might want to say. He's in an impossible situation. He can't fix himself. Amen?
Yeah.
And faith cries out from within him and to the Lord, said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst heal me.
Yeah. Amen.
I don't see no doubt in his confidence right there. Can I put it in Hickenese what this man says? Lord, I know you can if you will.
Right.
That's confidence. Now, you notice how the Bible worded this man's condition. He worded it pretty good. He says, full of leprosy.
Right.
Now, the priest, they didn't have no power to heal him. He tried to, you know, the priest probably tried to do what they can do. But this man had enough faith in the Lord that he looked past his problem, and he looked at the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I know this one can take care of me. I don't know what kind of problem you're in here tonight. I don't know what you're wrestling with. I don't know what you've been dealing with in your home. You don't know what I've been dealing with in my home. But I know a lot of folks are struggling with a lot of things.
Yeah.
We'll come to church and we'll give our prayer request. Lord, church, would you pray for me on this situation? I really need some help in this problem right here. And we'll take them back home and we'll wring our hands and we'll worry about it. I say we need to get a hold of some confidence and faith. Says, Lord, here it is. I'm done with it. You take care of it. Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean.
Yeah.
I didn't see no doubt there. Could you imagine? It was impossible for the doctors to do anything for this guy. The priest couldn't do anything with this guy. Had no power over him. But this man had enough faith to look past the impossible and trust in the Lord. I'm asking you here tonight to look past your problem. Look past what everybody else is telling you around you. And look at the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. And lay it with confidence of faith in His lap.
Yeah.
I will say this here today. We shouldn't have confidence in ourselves. Goodness gracious alive, you ain't got no confidence in your government. The only confidence we have today is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what the word confidence means? It means full trust in the ability and knowledge. You're going to be fully trusted into something. You're going to be invested in your confidence of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the greatest compliments I believe you could ever get as a person, if somebody look at you and say, I've got great confidence in you. Boy, I failed that a lot of times.
Yeah, mama.
Sure, Mark, you probably failed your confidence. We fail our confidence in one another a lot of times, but I'm going to tell you, you'll never, ever be disappointed in your confidence of faith with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Man, if you drive a Ford here tonight, you got confidence of faith, you're going to get where you're going.
Amen. Amen.
That's for you Dodge people. You get on an airliner, you got a little bit of confidence in that pilot that he's going to take off and get you to your destination and land that big airliner in a place that needs. We use faith like that a lot. Why don't we use that biblically in the things of God? Biblically, we should have confidence entirely upon the Lord and His power, regardless of what the circumstance is or the situation is. It doesn't matter to God. There's nothing too big for my God.
Right.
Real confidence of faith. You can go on through your word, your Bible, and you can see where there's real confidence of faith in the Lord all throughout our Bible. You can go over to 1 Samuel chapter 17. I love this story. Here when David stands eyeball to kneecap with one of the biggest giants he ever come against.
Yeah.
Now the odds were against David. The power of this battle was so lopsided in the flesh side of this. But David didn't fear one little bit. You notice David never questioned the size of the giant.
Right.
You notice he didn't go up there with all these soldiers hiding in the bushes and behind the rocks and the trees and they're wringing their hands. He didn't go to the first one of them and says, just how big is this guy?
Right.
He didn't want to know how big his shield was. He didn't want to know how big his sword was. He didn't care. He had confidence of faith that God was going to take him through this.
Right.
David didn't have faith in the stones. He didn't have faith in his sling. He didn't have faith in his ability, but he had faith in God. And the faith gave him the boldness. Now listen to this. The confidence of faith that David had gave him the boldness and the courage to step out on the battlefield and go to war. Amen. I believe a lot of us need to get that kind of confidence to give us some boldness and some courage to step out where we never stepped out before.
Amen.
You ain't might not never sung in church by yourself, but buddy, get some boldness and courage. God will give it to you. You might not never taught a class before, but I'm going to tell you, get you some confidence of faith, and He'll give you the boldness and the courage to step inside of a classroom and start teaching the young children around you. Hey, get the confidence of faith.
Yeah.
David had confidence of faith like this. Even you can see this over in Psalms 23, which we touched on this week. The confidence of faith. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's confidence.
Yes, it is.
Of faith.
Yes, good.
See, what you got to realize, we're preordained to go through the valley. We're all going to go through the low spots in our Christian walk. But we got to have confidence and faith that our Lord and Savior is going to be there. He's going to be the lily of the valley. Amen. He's going to be the bright and morning star. I got to have confidence that He's beside me, behind me, in front of me, all around me anytime I go out in the battle for the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, I'll tell you, confidence and faith. I'm not going to fear because you are with me. The psalmist didn't have faith in himself, but in the Lord. Confidence and faith can be seen in Daniel chapter number 6. When the law was passed and Daniel could not pray to his God. I kind of like what Daniel kind of says, okay then, I'm not seeking anyone's permission. I'm going to do what God told me to do. Confidence of faith, he opened up his windows and continued to pray knowing what was going to happen. That's confidence of faith. We need this kind of boldness and confidence of faith. We normally don't realize the full potential of faith and what it really can do. We don't understand this. Until all hope is stripped away. Why are we so hard-headed about our faith?
Yeah. Amen.
We'll put our faith in the doctors and our money and things around us and jobs and 401k. But when all hope is stripped away, that's when we want to have our faith in God, our full potential in God and our faith.
Amen.
I believe if you'd used that first, you'd have been a whole lot better off.
Yeah. Amen.
Confidence of faith is what Paul had when he wrote, I know who am I believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep me against that day. Yeah, what I've committed unto him against that day. Aren't you glad that Paul in prison had the confidence of faith?
Amen.
Confidence of faith is what three Hebrew men had. Amen. When they stood before the king, it says, our God will deliver us from the fiery furnace. Amen. That's confidence of faith. When they got to the mouth of the fiery furnace, it didn't matter. They stepped right on in there. I don't believe they had to throw them in. I think they just jumped in.
Yeah.
And went, whee, all the way down. Confidence of faith. That faith knowing that the fourth man was going to be in the fire. Amen. I sure am glad. I can see confidence of faith throughout the Word of God. And it's the same God, the same faith for their problems in. It's the same problems we're having today. I'm glad we can have confidence and faith when we go through our fiery furnaces. You take a stand for God, you're going to be in the furnace.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Your family ain't going to like you. Your government hates you.
Yeah.
Your job site, they're not going to have much to do with you. If you got confidence of faith, just keep pushing on. Confidence of faith is what Job had when he sat in the ashes after losing everything he had and saying God is good before, God is good now, and God is good after. And he worshiped the God in the midst of his devastation. That is confidence of faith. Confidence of faith is what the children of Israel had when they said some has chariots, some has horses, but we're going to trust in the Lord our God. That's confidence of faith.
Yes, amen.
You know, confidence of faith never asks, can God?
Right.
Confidence of faith cries out, God can.
Right. Yeah, that's good.
God can fix your addiction regardless of what it is. God can fix your finances no matter how bad they are. God can fix your cancer. Take it away. Confidence of faith will heal your broken heart. God can. God can. God can save your soul from a fiery furnace. God can bring you out of depression. God can put peace and happiness in the midst of devastation. God can. God can. God can. I believe it'd be good for all of us here tonight just to have confidence of faith just a little bit and just say, God can. God can. God can. Not say it like a sissy, but mean it from the gut inside. God can take care of my problems.
Yes, he can.
We sing that song every night. There's victory in Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me, he bought me. Boy, I'm glad I've got confidence of faith that he's the one that's got a hold of my soul. I'm going to go to heaven one day, not through what I've done or ever could have done, not over the messages I preach, not over things I do in the hospital visits. I'm going to heaven through the blood of Jesus Christ. I have confidence in the blood. Amen. Whew. I'm telling you, there's a lot of times you're going to doubt me. There's a lot of times I'm going to doubt you.
Yeah.
But I ain't never seen a time where I'll doubt my Savior.
Amen. Amen.
He has never failed me. He's never shown me any doubt whatsoever. I have confidence and faith in Him. And when I pray, I know that He is able to do it. Amen. Not hope so, might so, maybe so. I know so. My God hears me and will answer my prayer. I say to the church tonight, let's have confidence of faith in God.
Yes.
It's not easy.
No.
It's easy when you see the light at the end of the tunnel. Faith is easy when the bills are paid. Faith is easy when you're feeling good. But I'm going to tell you, we need to get to the place where we have confidence of faith when in the easy times, so it'll be easy for us when it gets to the hard time. There's going to come a time when you're going to be standing up against your Red Sea, and there's no way out of it. You better have some confidence of faith that you can cry up on the Master of all and say, Lord, I need you. I'm backed up against the wall, and I have no escape. I'm glad my God will bring an escape route, and you can escape what you're about ready to go through. Up against your Red Sea, I'm glad when you're standing in the doorway of your fiery furnace, you can have confidence of faith that God will hear you. But when you're standing in the doorway of a den, you can hear the bellies of the lions rumble inside. You need to have confidence of faith, knowing that God's going to give them lockjaw, and you can make them lions in the lion's den like a big old pillow and lay your head down to sleep in the midst of the lion's den. I tell you, if the Lord tarries long, it's going to be outlawed. Our Bible's going to be outlawed. Our meetings are going to be outlawed. Our praying is going to be outlawed. You better have confidence of faith when that prison bar is slapped behind you and you're locked in that prison. I look at old Paul, how every time he stepped into a prison and they shut them bars behind him, how he had confidence of faith. Writing letters out to encourage people in his darkest hour, in the midst of the prison, after he'd done been beat almost to death, and he's in there singing songs, uplifting the mind and magnifying the Lord Jesus Christ. That there is confidence of faith. I kind of worry about it when something happens in a life and all you hear is whining. But we walk around like somebody done kicked your cat in the next county, and you're just all drooped over like, goodness gracious alive. You got your theme song going on. It ain't victory in Jesus. You went back to the hee-haw days. Amen. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. And that's what you're seeing out in the lost and dying world. And they're seeing your lack of confidence. And they're saying, if that's your God, I don't want nothing to do. Have confidence of faith that He's going to take care of it. Walk into your job. Walk into the store as sick as a dog and say, God is being so good to me. Man. Alrighty, that's enough of the introduction.
That's a good introduction.
It's time for the message. Chapter 5 is plumb full of actions of faith. And I'm just going to say it. When true faith is present, there's a miracle going to happen.
Yeah.
You say, what's that mean, preacher? You mean we don't have our miracles happening all the time? If you don't have true faith, it's not going to happen. You know, when I read in the Bible, when miracles take place, a lot of times the church is in unity.
Sure. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What's unity mean? Like one, right? You can't have a little group back here fussing with this group up here that's fussing with a group back here and think God's going to bless your church.
That's right.
People's going to get healed.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. You better come into unity. Get over your pride. Get over everything in your life. Says, God, forgive me. And get in the business of praying together and in unity. I love a church. Every once in a while, when we don't even get to preach. I mean, God just takes over the service and just testimonies after testimonies. And then I say it's time to have a circle prayer. And we'll line up and we'll go all the way around the sanctuary of the church holding hands in unity. And we get prayer requests. Well, confidence of faith.
Yeah.
And that chain together. I believe when God's people connect together, I believe it turns the head that moves the hand of God.
Yeah.
And we've seen people's lives change through that circle of prayer at church. It's confidence of faith. Confidence of faith. Now, look at verse 12 right here. We done looked at this. His man was full of leprosy. The Bible made it so that it said full of leprosy, did it not? It didn't say leprosy. It said full of leprosy. This man was handed a death sentence. This man had a lingering disease, a painful disease, and a deadly disease. There was no miracle drug. There was no magic cure. Not only was he a leper dying, but he's going to die alone. Separated from his family. Separated from his friends. Separated from his church.
Yeah.
What's a bad condition? Back then, this was before Jesus ascended into heaven, they had to go to the temple to have fellowship with God. He couldn't even do that. Man, he's in bad shape. And the only message this man had was unclean, unclean, or unrighteous, unrighteous. Stay away. Cast it out of his home. Cast it out of his community. Cast out of his church.
Yeah.
And on top of all this, verse 12 said he was full of leprosy.
Yeah.
Not just a small outbreak on his arm or his leg, but completely consumed with it.
Yeah.
From head to toe. And in an impossible condition.
Yeah.
Right.
You're talking about being knocked down so deep, he can't get pulled up from. That's where this man was from.
Yeah.
This man was so broken, he couldn't be put back together. He was in such a helpless state. If a normal leper was looked down upon, could you imagine how bad it was for him being full of leprosy?
Yeah.
Man, he was in bad shape.
Think about that.
Three things about this man. This man's condition caught my attention, full of leprosy, full of something that burdened him every day, full of something that troubled his soul every day, full of something that made him an outcast every day, full of something that will haunt his memory every day, full of something that is breaking up his family every day, full of something that's hindering his walk with God every single day.
Yeah.
Gave all he had, no doubt, to try to heal himself, but couldn't fix it. Here he still sits, full of leprosy. In the world's eye, he was hopeless and helpless.
Yeah.
I tell you, I've got myself in some condition sometime where the world would look at me and say, "You're just hopeless. You're just helpless.
Yes, sir.
We ain't got nothing for you." But look at the cleansing that took place. I like, oh, happy day. But when the cleansing takes place, oh, happy day.
Right.
When Jesus washed my sins away. Hey, amen. Boy, it's always a good day when cleansing comes. I don't doubt he tried everything and failed, but the day Jesus passed by, religion couldn't help him. The law couldn't help him. The only help he had, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou can."
Yes, amen.
Confidence of faith. Just got to say it. Some things of our generation, so many people are searching and finding out that religion can help them. They tried the entertainment scene, and I'm going to tell you that it all makes you pumped up. And boy, you're walking out like this, but boy, when cancer hits and mommy's sick, where's the entertainment? God's going to help you none.
Right.
People's coming and saying, we ain't getting what we need out of this. There's nothing substantial, nothing, no meat to the bone, nothing we can anchor to in entertainment. We are looking for something that's going to anchor our soul to the Lord Jesus Christ, to give us confidence of faith when the hard time's coming. And I wish I could stand up here and lie to you and say that hard times will never come to your life. There's going to be a bed of roses and you're going to skip through the dandelions with no sickness and no problems whatsoever, but that'll be a lie from the pits of hell. You will be going through the valleys of the shadow of death. Well, you better have some confidence of faith. You better trust in something bigger than you are, something bigger than your government, something bigger than your doctor. You better have confidence and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Confidence of faith. Oh, happy day. Boy, I remember that day when I was just as bad shape as this guy was here. He was full of leprosy. I was full of sin.
Yeah.
Can I tell you, I was in just as bad shape as he was. I was in a helpless, hopeless condition as far as the world's eye was. It wasn't no hope for me in the world. It was a deadly disease. My sin was a deadly disease. Sure did cost me a lot of money too. But oh, happy day when the cleansing day come through. When he washed my sins away. Oh, happy day. Look at the confidence that he had. His confidence when he was looked out to Jesus and got his cleansing. There's, if you look in the scriptures there in verse 12, it said, it came to pass that behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him and said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me whole. These two L words there, that's pretty special. His condition, leprosy, right? Can't change it. Can't change himself, but the other L word comes in, the Lord. Boy, when you get those two things together, something's going to happen. Leprosy had him ruled his life. It controlled his life, but we see the Lord can fix the bad condition. Someone that can pull him out of an pullable out condition, you might want to say. He was so far down, nobody can pull him out, but Jesus could reach down and grab. Can I tell you, I was so far down in the miry clay, you could hook 2 or 3 winches on me, you couldn't pull me out of it. Well, I'm glad my Lord and Savior reached down out of heaven. I couldn't reach up high enough, so he reached all the way down where I was. Can I say it this way? He got down, all the way down in the mire with me.
That's right.
He got down in the same stink I was in, the same mess I was in. My shameful condition, he says, let me give you a hand. Let me give you a hand. I was just glad that day I had enough sense to reach up for his hand. He said, just take my hand. He said, I'm not going to leave you there. I'm going to pull you up out of that miry clay. And I'm going to set you up on the rock.
Yes.
I'm going to establish your goings, big boy.
Yes. Amen.
I'm going to put a new song in your mouth.
Yes.
Confidence of faith. Man, if you're looking in the scriptures right here, and with the power of the Holy Spirit, you can see something happening in this guy's life. Nobody else would help him. There was no hope for him. But he cries out with that confidence, Lord, I know you can if you will. You already heard about this man, Jesus. You already knew what he could do. Yeah, it's something that, it just blowed me away here. When you got leprosy, nobody's supposed to be around you.
That's right.
They had standing so far away and they're sitting there. Here comes his priest. He had to stop by there, about where Mark was. And he's talking to him. He said, this is far as I can't get close to you, buddy. You're in bad shape. I can't help you. The doctors came in. They had to stop at a certain spot. Said, I know you're in bad shape. I can't do a thing for you. Along comes this man named Jesus.
Yes, sir.
He crosses over the border and he comes all the way down where the leper was.
Right.
And the Bible says he reached out.
Yes, amen.
That's right.
Yes, amen.
What stopped everybody else? What kept everybody else from coming in? My Savior walked all the way through it.
Yes, sir.
Yes, yes,
yes, sir.
I will. I will cleanse you.
Yes, amen.
The closeness of the Lord Jesus Christ is what I've seen in this. It's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I wrote hallelujah right down there.
Amen.
If you ever been through the deep water, you know how close Jesus is. If you've ever been so sick that you don't think you're going to be able to wake up the next day, you know the closest of the Lord Jesus Christ. But also look at the leper's faith. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Wait a minute. Everything's done failed his condition. He was hopeless. But when Jesus, Lord, thou canst, and he didn't listen to what the family said, What did his family say?
Right.
Can't help you. You might as well just crawl over in the corner and die. Can't do a thing for you. Here comes the doctors. Buddy, we did all we can do, but there ain't no hope for you. Here comes the priest. Well, we did some little chants for you and everything, but we can't do anything for you. You're hopeless. You're in a hopeless condition. No hope for you. But this man had faith in Jesus, could do it. Just maybe we need to use this same faith the leper had. Use this leper as an excuse and don't listen to what our government says. There's no hope for you.
Right.
Maybe we don't need to listen to what the family's telling you. You're a hopeless cause in your addiction that you have. Maybe we need to look past what the doctor says, but it's bad and there ain't no hope for you. Better be making preparations. Maybe we need to be looking past all those things and do exactly what this leper did. And Lord, thou can change me if thou wilt.
Yes.
Confidence of faith. Jesus is in the habit of taking something impossible and making it possible. Faith looks past the storm and sees the rainbow.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my lands. Faith looks past the clouds and sees the heaven, the Lord sitting on His throne. Faith looks past the fear and says, my Lord will protect me and provide for me. Is there anything too hard for God?
No.
We got a history book right here that says, no, it's not. Count after count after count in the Word of God. Can I tell you? Confidence and faith. God is so faithful. He was faithful for Adam in the garden. Amen. He was faithful for Noah in the ark. He was faithful for Elijah on Mount Carmel. He was faithful for Dave as he hid him out in the cave. Now God has not changed. He has not weakened. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's the same God. Amen. What we're trying to say here is don't give up on that child that you've been praying for.
Amen.
That child is strung out and he done stole everything you had to go buy more drugs and you washed your hands of him. Don't give up on him.
Yes, amen.
Confidence of faith is what you need. Done gave up on that husband. He's not going to get saved. We've been praying for 60 years for him to get saved. Don't give up on him.
Yes, amen.
Don't give up on that wife that's not saved and she won't come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You come to church by yourself. Don't give up on that wife. Don't give up on your church.
Yeah.
Have confidence of faith. Mm. You know, I've always noticed God never makes a mistake.
That is right.
He never asked for a do-over.
That's right.
I never heard the Lord ask for a mulligan.
Never.
Played golf with Mark one time. That's all he wanted. I thought he was only allowed one or two on the hole. Every hole was a mulligan. Well, you want to see one of the biggest messes we got into? Me and Mark, BB, and Joe Schaefer went to play golf. Yeah. Me and BB was paired up, and Mark and Joe was. So BB gets up next to me like this, and Mark's teeing off. Mark killed a ball. He hit the thing 500 yards, I bet. He said, "Watch this." He said, "He'll kill a ball, but he can't see where it goes." BB keeps his eye right on that ball. Bounces down the fairway and he says, "Let's go." We all teed off. We take off down there and get Mark's ball. BB gets out and whack! Hits Mark's ball. So he starts playing Mark's ball. Mark's out there looking for his ball and BB's hollering at him, says, "That's a stroke penalty. You don't find your ball." How he got caught? We got on the green and Mark had a little cross written on his ball with a marker. So Mark reaches up there and gets BB's ball out of the hole and he looks at it and sees that cross up there and boy, it was the biggest fight ever took place on that green. I was ashamed of him. It was bad. We get back to the clubhouse, you know, you're taking your clubs out of your car and you put them in the car and this group had played behind us or it was in front of us, I think. Said, "We don't know what kind of game y'all play, but y'all sure did have a good time out there." That's the reason I don't go nowhere with him no more. My God never has to ask for a mulligan.
Right.
He does everything perfect when He does it the first time. Never makes a mistake. I have confidence and faith that I can lay my children down at His feet. I have confidence of faith that I can lay my home down at His feet. I have confidence of faith that I can lay my church down at the feet of Jesus and said, here it is.
Amen.
When the impossible situations come in and you're wringing your hands and says, I don't know how to handle this, God says, move aside. Let me take hold. I'll show you what I can do. I remember an old pastor that took me in under his wing. His name was Harmon Davis. I don't know if anybody y'all remember. A man named Harmon Davis. There'd be a situation come into the church and, man, I'm wringing my hands. I called Becky. I said, man, this is going to blow the church plumb away. The nonsense that you see coming through a church sometimes.
Yeah.
I call, you know, I done worried myself sick and I call Harmon up and I tell him what's going on. And he says, I said, I don't know what we're going to do. I said, it's probably going to blow the church up. He said, you want my advice? I said, I'm asking, ain't I? He said, just leave it alone. I said, what? He said, just leave it alone. He said, just back up and pray and just see what God does. God takes care in such diluting situations that if I'd have jumped in her head first, I'd have made a bee's nest out of that thing right then, right there. Harmon had confidence of faith.
Yes, amen.
Confidence of faith that He's going to take care of it. Lord, dilute this situation. Lord, give me the wisdom to speak what I need to speak. Lord, let my heart be full of love in these conditions. See, Becky, I ain't preached mean at all tonight. She warned me. She gritted her teeth. You better not be mean tonight.
Oh my goodness.
Robert, I'm saving that for tomorrow. Love, Robert. You know, He does it right the first time. And what we need to do is get to the point where we can say this with confidence of faith. My God can. My God can. My God can. My God can. You need to get used to saying that with confidence of faith. Not just words. Not just spitting them out of our mouth to sound spiritual in the group of men or sound religious in a group of women. You got to say that with a confidence of faith. My God can.
Yes.
And lay it in His hands. See, that's the reason we don't put everything in His hands. We think our God can't. Confidence of faith. I love reading verse 12 when He looks at Jesus. When everybody told Him He was in a helpless condition, He was in a hopeless condition, nobody was going to do anything for Him. You might as well just curl up and die. But I love when this man full of leprosy fell on his face and besought Him saying, if Thou wilt, Thou canst.
Yeah.
Confidence of faith.
Yeah. Amen.
Maybe you need to start using this confidence of faith tonight. Not just come up here and pray. Not just come up here and just lay down on the altar and say, Lord, you know my problem. I want you to take care of it and walk away. Confidence of faith is going to break you. And you will lay down on the altar of God and say, Lord, here it is. I'm going to release it right now because if I pick it back up, I'm saying I don't have faith in you. I'm going to have to deal with it some more. Did I ever tell you about Sissy praying? So we do a lot of sissy praying. Lord, save my dad if you get a chance. Lord, heal this person if you know. Lord, heal them. I know you can't heal them. We praying like sissies.
Yeah. Yeah.
I told y'all some of my testimony about my mom and dad lost and dying and going to hell. And I tried everything I could to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. The more I told them, the madder they got. They got to the point where they hated to see me coming to the old farm over there. They hated me coming up there. They got to the point where I realized they was going to die and go to hell. And I changed my whole prayer life. And I said this prayer and I meant it with all my heart. Lord, if it's going to take a tragedy for mom and dad to get saved, I want to be that tragedy.
Yeah.
Lord, take my life. If they'll open their eyes for them to get saved. And I prayed that prayer with everything in me. I meant it with confidence of faith. I prayed that prayer. And I called my mom and dad up. I said, be at my house at 12 o'clock. It's on a Saturday. So what for? I got something I want to give you. I called Pastor Sam Vance up and I said, Pastor, be at my house at 12 o'clock. He said, all right, buddy. So what's going on? I said, mom and dad's getting saved. He said, they are. See, he's been up the house so many times that and they more or less just thrown him out several times. I said, they're going to get saved. I said, they don't know it yet, but they're going to get saved.
Yeah.
Confidence of faith.
Yeah.
Pastor Sam Vance comes in there and he pulls up in the driveway. He gets there first and I'm wringing my hands because, you know, I'm dead that day. I'm going in my mind, how's Becky going to pay this bill and she's going to have to sell this. And I mean, I'm dying that day. I'm the last day on earth right there. I prayed that prayer, meant it with all my heart, and I knew God was going to honor it. They pulled in, seen the pastor's car, they knew it was. They was furious. Mad as a hornet. They get out of the car, they're slamming the doors. And I said, all right, Lord, just go ahead and take me now. This ain't going to happen. I see it. They came in, they sit down on the couch, and boy, their faces just all shriveled up and mad. And boy, God showed up. Pastor didn't sit there and talk to him with pleasant. You know how you get into a home, you kind of give some pleasant talk, trying to get them comfortable.
Yeah.
Pastor realized that wasn't going to help in this situation. He just opened up his Bible to the Romans road. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of your sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I'm praying as hard as I can pray. Sweat is running down off my head. I'm wringing my hands and I just happen to peek up at my dad and my mom and their faces. All of a sudden I start seeing them wrinkles start coming out of their head. Lord, this will be it. Lord, take me if they'll get saved. Lord, take me. Take me, Lord, if they'll get saved. And I heard him get to the point there where he read his. You'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He looked at my big old dad, about 6'5", mountain of a man. Bobby, don't you think it's time that you get this thing settled? I heard the sweetest words pierce out of that living room.
Yeah.
I think it is. My mom sat there and he said, Shelby, you done been battling this cancer long enough. Don't you think it's time you give this to the Lord? She said, I believe I will.
Yeah.
I come unglued, boy, I'm going to tell you. Same place that I got saved in the living room of my house. Same place my mom and dad bent down there and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save him. I had the privilege of having my hand on the side of my mother's arm when the monitor went flat and she died and went on to the Lord. And I got to be able to put my hand on her body, that old cold arm, and say to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
My brother was a crying and a weeping. My dad was, I was a rejoicing. She's in heaven right now.
Amen.
Let me tell you this. This is for free. You know what the greatest gift you can give your family, moms and dads, is letting your children know you're saved.
Yes, amen.
Absolutely.
Yes, amen.
Came down and my dad was in the hospital. He knew he was dying. You didn't have to play games with dad. He knew he was gone. I sat on a little stool in the corner of the upper in the ICU. Becky was sitting across the room there. I said, Dad, what can I do for you? He said, I got everything lined up, all the paperwork, everything needs to be. I said, Dad, I ain't talking about this nonsense down here. What can I do about you spiritually? My dad quoted that date that he knelt down in the living room of my house, told me the day he got saved. Told me the date that he got baptized.
Yeah.
He said, I ain't lived exactly the way I needed to. He said, I failed God so many times, but I have confidence.
Yeah. Yes, amen. Yeah.
Was it just the next day, his heart exploded, and I was standing right there with him, and I said, Dad, I'm right here with you. Looked him eyeball to eyeball, and my heart was broken, but I was rejoicing knowing that he was in heaven.
Yeah.
I could stand there and preach at his casket. to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. He was saved, sealed, and sanctified.
Amen.
And he went to see his Savior.
Amen.
Confidence of faith.
Yeah.
Confidence. Confidence of faith won't let you have sissy praying. You're going to get busy praying.
Yeah.
You need somebody healed? Lord, let it be me. Take me. Heal them.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to get saved? Lord, take me. If they'll get saved through it, I want to be the one that you use for them to get saved. You know what that is? That's serious praying there. That's putting away everything in the world and your pride and what you think. That's giving the confidence of faith and putting your life in the Lord Jesus Christ for somebody to get saved. Somebody to get healed. Confidence of faith. Maybe they come get a song together. Maybe you need to come and pray for somebody with confidence of faith. You prayed time and time and time and time before, but you just used the words and went through the motions. Maybe you've got to have confidence of faith today. Lay this problem down. What are you worried about today? Has it wore you out? Are you tired of worrying about it? Who's in your life is lost, dying and going to hell? Won't you have confidence of faith right now and come pray for them? Do they mean that much? Would you want to see them in hell? Boy, I'd come to an altar, boy. I'd lay them down on the altar because the word's going to come one day when they're gone and are away from this earth and they're in hell right now and the time's going to come back in your mind. God's going to bring it back to your mind where you had an opportunity to have confidence and faith to pray for them. If you're lost here in this room tonight, won't you come? Have confidence and faith. Step out. Come up here. Lean up here on this platform and say, "Preacher, I want to be saved." I'm not going to tell you what a Baptist says. That just sends you to hell. I ain't going to tell you what a Methodist says, a Pentecostal, a Catholic. All that is just stuff of man. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. I'm going to read from the Scriptures how to be saved. Biblical salvation. Well, it makes a difference. It'll change you from inside out. You got confidence of faith. I know beyond a shadow of doubt there's people in here right now struggling with things in their life. Their children is just plumb driving them crazy. Work is plumb driving you crazy. Your health is plumb wearing you out. Won't you come with confidence of faith? Pray like you ain't never prayed before. Lord, I'm to my end. This old leper right here, full of leprosy, he done come to the very end. Nobody was going to help him. Nobody can get him out of this situation until Jesus passed by. I can't help to believe that if he would have hollered at Jesus and said, "Hey, I tried everything else. Maybe you come over here and heal me." I think Jesus wouldn't even waste time. But the way he said that, "Lord, I know thou canst if thou wilt. Lord, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt you can take care of my problem." Confidence of faith. Confidence of faith. Well, a lot of times we'll have them little grandbabies. You love them so dearly. Mom and dad ain't in church. You're worrying about them little babies. And boy, I'm going to tell you, you need to pray for them with confidence of faith. Put a hedge about them. Protect them. The devil wants them. The devil already got them in his sights. He's coming for them. Confidence of faith. Lord, take care of them. Take care of them.
every minute. I'm going to continue in my marriage. I have confidence in faith. I'm going to be rejoiced before I'm quick. I'm going to enjoy talking to the shepherd.
Yeah.
I'm not going to make no decisions in a family.
Right. Amen.
It's good. Doug, we love you. Thank you. We do like one another. We don't want to make noise.